It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out!
This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. I think Shasky's taking his morning roast deuce. I'm still here, though, with you guys on YouTube, Twitch, and the Comcast Business Text Line, plus your phone calls coming up. Anthony Slater joined us in moments. Our Warriors 95-70 game insider, because Bob Myers and Steve Kerr spoke yesterday, and the Warriors are back on the floor for training camp tomorrow. The champs are back! The champs are back! The champs are back! And then media day on Sunday. Then they head off to Japan and take on the Wizards next Friday at 3 a.m. You can listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Warriors basketball, as we just re-up with the Warriors. They're back with 95.7 The Game. They're back. The champs are back, Shasky.
I was eating peaches.
Oh, was that the excuse?
Yeah, and then I washed my hands because they were sticky from the peaches.
I've never seen you eat a slice of any fruit around here.
I'll bring them in during the break.
Fried chicken in the morning. I see you tear down baked chicken.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Michelle be hooking you up, dude. It's like you bring dinner for breakfast.
All right.
I've never seen you eat an apple, peach,
Save
banana.
It for the sideshow.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The sideshow?
That's
what
I like that.
What about the sidebar? The sideshow?
I like that as the name of the.
You know who else I like?
Yeah.
Other than his football fandom, is Anthony Slater. He's the biggest offense fan west of the Mississippi. And he was texting me the other
Tommy
day.
Call?
Tommy Call. How many teams are Tommy? Tommy likes Washington, Miami, Kentucky. Tommy Call's confused when it comes to sports fandom. Slater sticks with his teams. The Guardians. The Dolphins, and of course he doesn't have an NBA team because he's a beat writer.
Is like, Tua elite?
Right. Well, he was like, how much the Dolphins, Niners tickets? I'm going to have to splurge, man, are coming out. I'm like, dude, relax. Dolphins may be 5-11 at that point. I don't know. Anthony Slater back on the rolls. Let's beat basketball season. What's up, Slater?
They also might be like 11-2. I don't know if you've been watching.
Oh, my gosh. Here you go. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Are you doing the Waddle dance at home when the Dolphins score?
I would never publish that video.
Come
but
on,
it's
man.
Possible.
Slater, man, you'll be a star if you should publish that Waddle dance. Well, could you imagine Slater the Waddle dance, Shasky, doing a Waddle dance?
Yeah, it seems like a totally hip dude. He's totally fine with that. I have no problem with that. In fact, he would probably break it down in like video concepts with paragraphs in between, like he does his articles for the Warriors. I mean that sincerely. And you know what? I find this interesting. I'm ready for the Warriors season right now, Anthony, and they win the fourth title. It felt, you know, as the year was going on, like even if they were to win it, man, that would be such an incredible accomplishment. Shockingly, they did. They won it all. And I keep coming back to they won now, and they were trying to develop for later, right? And the Niners are going through this right now with the Trey Lance thing. They were trying to win now and also develop simultaneously so they can continue to win. What does that mean for this year, though? Like, is it just like the kids can just be, you know, part of the mix? Or is there more impact to be had in this year now that they have already won that championship in their back pocket?
Yeah, I think that last year there was more pressure on, like, the idea of what they were doing, right? Like, if they didn't win last season, we might have blamed it on the fact that they were also trying to develop. But now that I think you take a step back, they've already kind of checked the box of, like, win now, right? If we were... I guess forecasting it. It's like, all right, you already won now. They haven't necessarily checked the box of develop now. I mean, obviously the pool ascension is huge, and that is a big win for their developmental department. But we're talking mostly about the three lottery picks. Moody, looks like he should be a rotation player. Kuminga, we'll see, a lot of talent. Wiseman, you know, in his third season has played 39 games. So this was always the season, and I guess we didn't always talk about it this way, but this second season when they were going to kind of, you know, I guess promote these guys into the rotation, basically hand them rotation spots, was always going to be probably the roughest when they were trying to mesh these eras together. Because last year, when it came down to it, it was all veterans, right? Think about the playoffs. I mean, it's Otto Porter, it's Gary Payton the second, and then it's all the main guys. This season, they need more from the young guys, and I think this is the one where the develop now part of the plan will be judged more harshly, even though because they won the title, like, we're not going to be, like, you know, beating down the doors of the franchise. Like, why did they do it?
95.7 The Game insider Anthony Slater breaking out some Warriors basketball. I promise, Anthony, I'm not going to ask you a 55-second question like my partner just did. So what is the biggest storyline you'd like to ask? You do like to. What is the biggest storyline going into training camp? Because there's a lot of talk about the contracts. Draymond, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins. Is that your biggest storyline to you, the contracts and who could be gone after this season?
I mean, that's like, I guess, wider scope, biggest storyline surrounding the franchise. But I'm not sure. Like, we're not going to get answers necessarily at media day. Now,
right.
I'm curious how Draymond answers a potential question about it, how Poole answers a question. But, you know, Poole, they're not even meeting with Poole's representatives, which, by the way, we got news on that yesterday.
Right.
They're going to meet after they come back from Tokyo. Maybe something gets done. Maybe it doesn't. Same with Wiggins and Draymond before the year. But if we're just talking about, like, what I want to know in the next couple weeks, I want to just see what James Wiseman looks like. How many times have we discussed this and been asked this question over the last 2 years?
Just a few.
Yeah.
Just a few.
But he's apparently in the facility all the last month and a half, like playing every single pickup game he can get in. The knee's feeling good. He's feeling confident. We'll see how that translates to the court, but he's at least physically there. So it's time to find out, you know, if he can help, how he can help, where he can help, what lineups, all that.
Where is Draymond at? Because he has that player option for $27 million after the season. And, look, I don't see how he wouldn't pick that up. But are the Warriors even intrigued from what you've heard on maybe maxing him out this year and giving him an extension? Or is Poole priority one? Is Wiggins priority two and Draymond priority three?
Yeah, I mean, they're purposely not, like, you know, message it out there, like, you know, the list of priorities. Because, you know, you want to create some issues in the locker room. You know, start saying who you prioritize above somebody else. As far as Draymond goes, I mean, he technically, like you said, has 2 years left. Now it's player option. He can go into unrestricted free agency, but you can tell there's less urgency, you know, as in his situation from the Warriors side. In some ways, and, you know, this is not necessarily always how you want to do it, but this could provide Draymond Green motivation this season, you know, to go get one last big contract if he plays really well. And a way he wouldn't pick up that option is if he has, you know, a defensive player of the year type season and he can walk into free agency and command that elsewhere, force the Warriors to pay big. To me, Poole, and you're already kind of hearing it yesterday, Poole seems to be on the top of their urgency list. He actually has a deadline. Whereas, you know, Draymond and Wiggins could theoretically sign extensions during the season. I'm not saying they will, but they could. Poole, if he does not get an extension signed by October 17th, the day before the season, he's going to restricted free agency next summer. And to me, if you look at all three situations, who out of those three is likely to just spike his money into a different range? I don't think Wiggins is going to play himself into any crazy more money. I don't think Draymond is going to play himself into more money. Poole is the one, if you just follow his career path, who could just have a monster offensive season, and suddenly you're talking a max salary that starts at $33 million. Ooh. Whereas maybe this next month, you know, if you can work out team and player at something in like the 120 range, mm-hmm. something like that.
Wow, it's a lot of money. For anybody, I'm not saying that he's not worth it. He's absolutely worth it. I feel like we're burying the lead here, guys. I'm looking at Brady fatigue around the country. I'm looking at LeBron fatigue around the country. Aaron Judge seems to be one of the stars right now in all of sports, mm-hmm. but he's not the star that Steph Curry is. Him making the cover of Rolling Stone, to me, that was very impactful. Is he the biggest star currently in sports?
I don't know. I mean, you mentioned Brady. Like, I don't know. Like, Q rating, how do we judge that? I mean, I think obviously, like, we live in the Bay Area. So, if we had to judge it from what we hear on a daily basis, you'd go with that. Maybe if you lived in Florida or New England, it'd be Brady. LeBron, obviously, regardless of if, I guess, feelings, you know, the Laker move has not, I don't think, been as sparkling as he hoped it would be. But if you're just talking about, like, recognizable names, I mean, I don't know if he's above Steph. To generally answer your question, I mean, Steph is like a top three, top five athlete in the world. I mean, there's no question about that. And then the other thing that Steph clearly seems to be doing is what Brady and LeBron did, which is elongating his prime, which makes him increasingly more famous as it goes on. I think Brady's become a lot more popular, like positively, over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And I think it's because people are just like, how is he doing this? It's like an unbelievable physical feat. He's playing an NFL quarterback at age 45. I think people will continue over the next few years to go, like, how is Steph still this good at this age? And I think we saw that last year.
Yeah, what's the encore look like for him this year? I mean, like, that's what I keep coming back to. He wins his fourth championship. I think it's the greatest game in Warrior history, Game 4. I mean, it's his individually greatest moment on a stage like that. His Game 4 is one of the greatest games in any sport that I've ever seen. Like, how does he even top what he did last year? Or is this just one big celebration of Steph this year?
Yeah, man, I don't think he needs to top it. He just needs to have another, like, MVP, you know, top six player.
Just in the another league. MVP right. season. I'm not ripping you, but
it's crazy, too, Slater, because his percentages were down in the regular season, and yet we all forget about it because of his epic finals performance.
Yeah, I mean, we spent, like, the middle parts of last regular season, like, wondering about his three-point shot. You know, even people like, did he get too buff? But remember the record chase? I mean, that hit on him last season. Yeah. And that's just, like, also, I just, you know, the shot probably won't be 2006 unanimous MVP again, where he's, like, you know, shooting an absurd amount of per game and hitting 45% of them, which is fine. I think the big thing, like, the guy keeps himself in such elite shape, and that showed itself in the playoffs. That showed itself, I thought, most in the West Finals when Luka was wearing down and Jason Kidd's on the podium talking about how good a shape Steph's in, and you know it's kind of, not necessarily a subtle shot at Luka, but it's kind of like, hey, if you want to be at this level, get in shape this summer.
Right.
And that's not what you normally hear when a 34-year-old is facing a 23-year-old. It's just like that to me spoke so much to what Steph does. And also to why I'm confident coming into this season. Like, I don't think you're suddenly going to see Steph, you know, game three of the season, like, man, like, I don't know, is he not in that good of shape? Like, you know, is he declining? The way he keeps himself physically, I just think any type of decline over the next six seasons is going to be so gradual because he's going to fight it off so well. Also, the family ages very well. Mm-hmm. Del Curry played till he was, you know, 37 years old.
True.
Threes.
Yeah.
Seth, you know, they mature later in their careers. You know, they mature the 29-30 range and then age gracefully. And obviously the skill, the hand-eye coordination, that always ages better than athleticism.
That's a great point, Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider here on the Roast. Last one for you. Will anybody ask Curry about some of the details in that Rolling Stones article, specifically the Kevin Durant noise where, yeah, he asked Bob and Steve and they had the conversation. A lot of Warrior fans are like, no, we don't want KD back. But we all understand you got to have that conversation. It's Kevin freaking Durant. Will you ask that question? Is that the question you want to ask Steph tomorrow or, excuse me, Sunday at Media Day?
No, not really, because, like, you know, you knew they were kind of, like, you know, kind of juggling it around a little bit behind the scenes. It never got anywhere close. Like, this wasn't, like, you know, it was at the one-yard line, and they're calling Steph, like, do we pull the trigger or not? Like, they weren't even really discussing, like, you know, possible packages. It was just kind of floated, and clearly Steph in the interview, you know, he's willing to put his name on it, I think, and it's been theorized. I think he just wants that Durant era to be looked back on more. You know,
with positive light.
Longingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I understand, right? I mean, like, that was one of the best runs in NBA history, three-year runs in NBA history. And it's still a little bit like in Oklahoma City. It's still, like, tough for the local people to talk about. It's just weird that the two places Durant left, that's how it is. So I think that it was more like that. As far as what question I want to ask Steph, I think the Durant stuff, not only is it in the past, like, it was never actually going to happen this summer. Mm-hmm. I'm more curious, like, what's the hunger level of this team this season? I mean, they fed off this just desire to get back to the mountaintop.
Right.
You know, they got back. Like, what's left? That's kind of my
Anthony, I dare you. Double dog dare you to ask Steph Curry, are the 49ers better with Jimmy Garoppolo than they are with Trey Lance?
I feel like you guys probably get him on the radio show at some point during the season. I feel like that's a Shasky question.
It is
a Shasky question.
Well, I would also ask about the President's Cup that's going on this week and how both teams have been gutted because of the Live Tour. But that's neither here nor there. I want someone to ask him that question just for fun.
Anybody. You think Klay Thompson watches football still? Is he still a football fan?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I know he's watched a lot of Dodger baseball.
Why you gotta do that to me?
Yeah, I mean,
you brought it up.
You did bring it up. That's an interesting one. The hunger level, especially with the Clippers. A lot of people talking about the Clippers and hyping them up. Are the Warriors
the
favorites
talking
coming
about
in?
The Clippers on a football
real quick,
Friday?
We're going to get you out
what
of here.
Are you
Slater.
Doing?
Are the Warriors the favorites though? Because I feel like, to your point about, hey, is the hunger there or whatnot? I hear it a lot about the Clippers, Anthony. But how can anybody not pick the Warriors to try to go back to back?
Yeah, look, if you were just like, you have to pick a team to win the West, I would pick them. But if you said Warriors or the Field, I'd pick the Field. I think it's kind of wide open. Denver's vaulting maybe back into contention with Murray back. You mentioned the Clippers. You know, the West is... to me, like, the West was wide open last season. The Warriors kind of walked through the front door. They weren't some Goliath, and now they're bringing their top six back. So, again, slight favorites in the West. I probably would have said Celtics were favorites to win the title, but I'm not sure I'm saying that anymore. So, they have as good a chance as anybody.
Yeah, we'll leave that Celtics situation alone. Yeah. Press conference coming up, I believe, at 11 o'clock in Boston. Or, 2 o'clock in Boston. Could be wrong there. Anthony, always good to hear from you. Basketball season's here. I'll see you on Sunday at Media Day.
All right, fellas.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
as always.
Anthony.
Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider. I just shouldn't have done that to you, man. Your long question. You always do that when you're...
Well, I was trying to set something up.
Stretch. It's like, But no, Slater's always good in basketball. See, where's your back, Shasky?
I know. I'm going to pivot real quick. But, Tim Kawakami was on with Damon and Ratto yesterday. He said, first time in 22 years he will not be at a Warrior Media Day. Because he's going to be in Denver.
That's insane, huh?
And the reason why I bring up Tim Kawakami is because I was listening to him, obviously, with Damon and Ratto.
I know, enjoyed 95.7 Game.
It was amazing. It's good to see that he's finally shown, you know, that the dark side is the right side. So we're over here at Death Row, and he tweeted out earlier today, the 49ers open this week 2.5-point underdogs in Denver. That was on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Now they're 1.5-point favorites. The 4-point swing is about as clear as Vegas can get about the new 49ers circumstances. Now, a couple of points here I want to make. So they started off as underdogs. Now
they're favorites.
They're favorites. Why do we do this transitive property when it comes to Vegas? Why do we do this? I'm asking
it's
you, like,
what? Because the sharp bettors are saying that the Niners are clearly going to win this game. A 4-point swing just doesn't happen like that. But is it clear because of Jimmy Garoppolo, or is it clear because of the Broncos' injuries?
Well, and also the lack of faith in Hackett.
Right.
The public's lack of faith. So, like,
but again, it's also sharp money, too.
I'm not a bettor.
Early on. Yeah.
I'm not a bettor. So, the reason why I ask you is why do we put so much weight into what Vegas thinks?
By the way, the Celtics conference is happening now.
Oh.
Some people do. Well, it's an indicator of how the sharp experts, the experts who study this stuff on a week in and week out basis, on how they're feeling. And for the most part, they're right, right? The public.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, Vegas usually wins.
The line is set up so that they get even money on either side.
Yeah, but they want to win, too. But when you look at this line, the 2.5, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you see, okay, Jimmy's back. Niners look good. And then you couple that with the Broncos' injuries and the way they've played. Maybe we've overrated the Denver Broncos. So the Sharps are like, 2.5? We think the Niners are going to win this game outright. Let's go ahead and bet the money. Now, I don't know when this live movement changed. Because when the live movement happens on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's the public coming in betting on the money. But if it happens early in the week, like a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that's the sharp bettors. And so people look at that stuff, and for the most part, the sharps are right. The sharps are always on the right side.
If I pulled 49er fans and I said, like, Sunday midway through that game, or I guess early in that game, are the Niners going to beat Denver? I'd be like, I don't know.
I think it's a coin flip game.
Right? And then now that we've got Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, you're asking me the question, are the 49ers going to beat Denver? I have the same response. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why there's all these dramatic swings. Like, I view it very comparable to what they had in the situation before Jimmy was in there.
Right.
And that's not a me slamming Jimmy. It's a me not really understanding how good Denver is.
Now,
I don't know how good Denver is.
Exactly.
I fear their defensive line.
What if Trey doesn't get hurt and the Niners beat the Seahawks 28-7? They beat them by the same exact score. My feeling is the spread would have changed again. And add the fact that George Kittle's playing.
No, that
that's a factor too.
That I think is a good one.
I don't think it's all tied to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what I'm saying here.
Quarterback moves the needle. They say that the best position players in the league are only worth like a point or something. But I'm not as educated as you are.
We watched the 49ers. How important is George Kittle to this offense?
I would say he's very vital.
All right,
very vital.
How important is Jerry Jeudy to the Denver Broncos?
I think he's vital.
All right. How important is Justin Simmons at safety?
I think he's very important.
DJ Jones on the defensive line. Got 3 years of $30 million.
Probably an overpay, but I really like DJ Jones.
Right. So, and then you add that with the fact that Jimmy is back, and we all know who Jimmy is. and the Niners are getting healthier, I think all that is a factor. It's just not tied to Jimmy Garoppolo. Because I truly believe if Trey Lance is playing this game, and they're coming off a 27-7 win over Seattle, hypothetically, I know it's a hypothetical, but if Trey Lance and the Niners win 27-7 against Seattle, and we know George Kittle's coming back, I still believe the Niners are one-point favorites or two-point favorites on the road. Think about the odds for the Super Bowl and where the Niners were at. Trey Lance is playing quarterback, and a lot of people are picking the Niners to go deep into the playoffs with Trey Lance at quarterback. So I think it's not just an indictment on Jimmy Garoppolo. I say all that to say it's not just all tied to number 10.
Yeah, it just feels to me, though, like the public sentiment is now, because we watched it this morning, where everyone was picking the 49ers on ESPN and Fox and all the different sports shows. Everybody lays out, they go through every game, and everybody, the whole panel is picking the 49ers. And I'm like, I don't really like that.
Because
I feel like we're not accounting for the wild shenanigans of Russ.
You know what the kiss of death is when you need to be worried?
Huh.
Is when Guru bets on your football team.
Why you gotta do him like that?
No, because he bet on Florida State last week, and I said, Guru.
Guru does not have any power over whether your team's gonna win or lose.
When he bets on your team,
go the other way.
Do not liquidate all assets. He took Pittsburgh yesterday plus 4.5, and everybody's like, oh, we gotta take Cleveland.
What's his record?
Spinelli, come on.
What's his record this year in betting?
11-19.
Oof.
Spinelli, what'd you say?
It was not good.
It was not good.
Your boy was 9-7 last week, though. 10-7 now.
Who, you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not talking about you, Spadoni. We don't care about your bets.
Make it about me.
Shout out to the Morning Roast.
Stay off of my timeline.
7-07, Cowboys. Shout out to the Morning Roast. I couldn't get through my day without you.
I told Sam Loveman, we were told that Guru would make an appearance on Saturday at our little baseball event that we're going to do.
Guru's not coming.
At 11 o'clock at Balboa Park here
Guru
in San Francisco.
Is not coming.
And I told him, you are setting yourself up for being let down.
Guru is not coming all the way to the city.
Some extended member of his
family. I
twisted
his arm a little bit on it yesterday. Dude. Think he might be able to show up.
Guru is not coming to the city at 11 a.m.
Yeah, expect one of his distant relatives to pass away that morning.
It's college football. He'll be tweeting about college football. Why would you do that? That's love.
The caddy is broken.
What's coming up on game sponsored by the San Diego Tourism Authority, Benjamin Albright, Mike Silver's best friend, joining the roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, Shasky showing off the custom jersey. Number one with the Shasky on it. It's clean, man. Really clean. Number one's a good number on you. It's a good number.
Slimming effect.
I just look good, man. You look like a baller in that number one.
You know, I can play offense and defense.
By the way,
quarterback, playmaker.
You are a playmaker.
I got body envy.
Why y'all do a goo like that? By the way, there's a crazy report. We're not going to get into it, but Arizona State staffers apparently were leaking info to help opponents and get Herm Edwards fired, as he was fired off the field at Arizona State last week. Herm didn't deserve that.
Sabotaging people?
Sabotage Herm. Boy, like Darren Erman, sabotaging Mark Jackson. Let's not get into that.
You play to win the game.
Let's not get into that. No, no, no. But let's get into Benjamin Albright, who's in Denver. We'll take your calls in just a second. 888-957-9570. Everybody's jacked up for Albright to be back on the show. Last time he made some airwaves, Benjamin Albright is a very, very fun guest on the Morning Roast. He knows everything about the NFL, Albright NFL on Twitter. And of course, host, reporter, and analyst at the Broncos flagship station, KOA Colorado. Benjamin, good morning again, man. Good to have you back on the show. And before we break down this game, it feels like if Sean Payton wants that Denver Broncos job after the season, he will get that job after the season, because the early reports on Nathaniel Hackett is not so good.
Well, it's good to hear from you guys again. Let's start there. you know, and I understand the last time I was on, there was a little bit of attention with some comments I made, and, you know, we'll hope to try to top that today. As far as Nathaniel Hackett goes, I think he's a young coach that's trying to learn, and Sean Payton's going to have his pick of jobs after this season. My guess and my gut says Dallas, but he's going to have his pick of jobs. He's Sean Payton. As far as Hackett goes, you know, it's tough because the glaring missteps that he's made or what's being talked about and what aren't being talked about is that the Broncos are number one in the NFL in yards per drive, number six in the NFL in total yards. They're just not finishing in the end zone. And, you know, maybe they need to get on Bang Bros and learn how to finish, because at this point, these guys are sitting there fumbling the football on the 1 yard line over and over again and not getting it done with the scoring. So, I look at what Denver's doing and I see a team that's accumulating yardage. They're just not getting it in the end zone and getting the points.
So is that a byproduct of them, you know, shooting themselves in the foot, or this is just kind of what we should expect from kind of a new unit, a new team, new coaching? Or are they enough? Like, I don't know what to make of them through two games, I guess, is where I'm going at. Like, is this just a work in progress?
Well, it's both. That's the thing. We don't know what to make of them, but you know, the underlying things look positive. The problem is it's just not ending up in points. And you know, I mean, they opened the season with Seattle, where they fumbled the football twice on the 1 yard line in back to back possessions. That hasn't happened since 1987, since Scab players were playing in the
wow.
Spring year. It's just not something that happens. And so you know, you start to look at all these things, and they add up: the delay of game penalties, that bizarre, you know, go for the 64-yard field goal rather than the 4th and 5 with Russ, and you know, all that stuff starts to compound, and you say, well, we've got a coach that's in over his head. Well, I don't know that he's in over his head, but he's certainly young and learning on the job. But the other things that are going on here make it look even worse than it is.
Has Russ been as advertised for Bronco fans?
Well, in practice he had. In the games, no, he really hasn't, if we're being honest. And I think fans had unrealistic expectations when it came to Russ's, you know, what he was going to bring to the table. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, what I saw in practice was a player who still has it. What I'm seeing in games is a player that looks like he might not.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, there was against the Texans, there was a, I don't remember which down it was, but they had a goal to go situation. They're inside the 5. All Russ had to do was take off 3 yards and scramble on a boot, and he had it free and clear, and he chose not to. He tried to throw the ball, and he threw the ball, and it wound up in an incompletion. I mean, he literally had to take 2 steps to get in the end zone. He just didn't do it. Through 3 games, we're talking about a guy who's got, what, 3 carries for less than 10 yards? I mean, that's not Russell Wilson. So, you know, looking at him out there, he just looks like he's hesitant to run the football, doesn't really want to do that, and you know, there are some things that feel like they're off with the deep ball, which has normally been his bread and butter. Mm-hmm. So, it feels like a player that's not his optimal self.
Benjamin Albright, host, reporter, analyst at the Broncos flagship station, Broncos Insider here on the Morning Roast. Before we switch over to the 49ers, because I know you have some thoughts on Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, this injury list for the Denver Broncos is long. You may not see Jerry Jeudy Sunday Night Football. No, we're not going to see Justice Simmons, your star safety there. Patrick's saying, what's going on with the Broncos and the injuries? Who's playing, who's not?
Well, most of those guys are going to play. They're overdoing it with the injury report right now. I don't know why, but they are. I think one of the guys is on there with a hangnail.
Will Jeudy play?
I think Pat Sertan will play. I don't think Jerry Judy's going to play.
Okay,
we'll see. Both those guys are still day to day, but my gut says, based on the way they practiced, I don't think that's going to. You know, I don't think Jeudy will, and Sertan, I would put it at 85% he does. You know, most of those other guys are going to play. I think you mentioned, you know, obviously you're not going to see Justin Simmons in that game. You're not going to see probably Quinn Meinertz in that game. Billy Turner's a coin flip. But the rest of those guys, you're probably going to see them play.
All right, now switching over to the 49ers. What did you make of what happened in the aftermath of the Trey Lance news? Broken ankle, he's out for the rest of the season. Jimmy Garoppolo's back. Some players may have felt like, hey, he gives us a better chance to win. I don't know. It's been crazy here in the Bay Area. Just what's your overall thoughts on that quarterback position here in San Francisco?
Well, I think that unfortunate injury gives a lot of people who are making things up the opportunity to go back and use some revisionist history to justify their takes. You know, as far as the Niners backdoored their way back into Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, there was no trade market for him. They asked him to come back and at a hugely reduced salary, and they wound up lucking into having a situation where a guy that already knows the offense and the players gets to guide the team for the rest of the season. I wish him nothing but success in that, but, you know, outside of course, Sunday night. But, you know, in the end, this wasn't the plan. Like, all these people that are trying to tell you this was the plan are laughably false, and you can see that very obviously from the fact that the Niners tried to trade all those draft picks for Trey Lance. They did everything they could to move Jimmy Garoppolo, and in the offseason, couldn't get anything better than a third rounder as an offer. So, you know, in the end, I think that people are going to use results to justify the things that they said that weren't true. But, you know, the Niners luck into a good situation. It could be disaster. I mean, imagine if, you know, if it was Brock Purdy the rest of the year, I don't think people would have as much confidence around the Bay Area.
No, no, I'm with you on that. So then how do you view the 49ers, especially this weekend? Are they the team that should be the favorite? We were talking that opened at the beginning of the week that the Broncos were favored, and now the 49ers are favored. It's a big four-point swing. Do you make anything of that?
You know, I don't make anything of that in terms of who the quarterback is. I think Denver would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo out there to defend. He doesn't have the dynamic ability with his legs. The book on Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty much out there. You know, he's a middling velocity passer, highly efficient, mostly in breaking routes, that kind of stuff. Loves to move to his right, won't take off on you. So I think in terms of football, you'd rather have Garoppolo out there. That said, you know, Jimmy has played well before. He's got a good enough cast around him, he can win games. And so that bodes, I think, for the Niners in the long haul. In terms of this game, you know, I think at altitude at Denver, I think Denver's being slept on a little bit. I mean,
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm worried about Denver.
It's a tough place to play.
And Chubb versus McGlinchey, to me, is a matchup that it frightens me.
Well, you're going to have Gregory, I think, on that side, actually.
Okay.
McGlinchey most of the time. Gregory's a speed guy, and I think he will give him a little bit of fits. I think Trent's going to erase whoever's on his side, whether that's Chubb or Baron Browning, whoever's in the rotation there. Trent's obviously going to take them out of the picture. You know, you remember the old Pros versus Joe show?
Oh, yeah. We had a friend that participated in it
the other day. Yeah. Yeah, I saw my Trent the other day. I said, and he said, you know, if you gave me 10 rushes, I could get my Trent. I was like, if you gave me 100, I would get laughed at every single time. Trent's a great player. You know, McGlinchey, a little bit of the athleticism there. I think Gregory can take it. But I think Denver's getting a little slept on here just because of the mistakes and the early growing pains. Again, remember, this is the number one team in the NFL in yards per drive and number six in total offense. They just haven't scored points, and that's going to change at some point. They're not going to forget how to move the football. They will learn how to score.
And that's the thing. They should have won the Seattle game. They dominated that second half. I wanted to get back to Jimmy for a second because you had some very interesting critiques of him. And look, we agree. We've watched every single snap of Jimmy Garoppolo out here in the Bay Area, and I'm sure you have. Should we recalibrate our expectations, though? Because there was a lot of unknowns with Trey Lance. I thought Trey Lance was going to be special. I'm in the camp, but Trey Lance could be a really, really good quarterback. But, you know, Super Bowl aspirations now that Jimmy is back, I think that's fair, right?
I think that there's certainly, I mean, with the division is certainly fair. I mean, look at the rest of that division. You've got a Cardinals team that they can't figure it out, really. They did against the Raiders, but it's the Raiders. You've got a Seattle team that's frankly bad, even though they beat us. And I'm willing to admit we got beat by a bad football team. And then you've got the Rams, and, you know, Matt Stafford been taking those PRP injections in his elbow. He's already got that arm fatigue. That's actual real arm fatigue, by the way, not fake reports about arm fatigue. I think it's a division that's up for grabs. So I think you win the division, anything's fair game. I mean, we've seen Jimmy get to the Super Bowl before. We've seen that happen. We know it can happen. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Benjamin Albright, last question for you here. From the Denver perspective, Mike Shanahan in the Ring of Honor, wins the two Super Bowls with John Elway, his son on the sidelines during the Super Bowl holding the cords and stuff. Now he's returning home. Does that do anything for the local fan base out there? Is there any talk of that at all?
There is, but it's a little more nuanced than that, because when the Broncos hired Vance Joseph, Kyle Shanahan was the other candidate for Denver, and that got vetoed because of some internal politics. He interviewed here.
That's right, he did.
Vetoed because of some internal politics, so they wound up with Vance Joseph. Vance was a total flop, and, you know, we've seen the success that Kyle's had since then, and the entire league is taking his staff, I mean, and guys that do his offense. So, I think for the Denver fan base, it does do something.
Who needs this win more, Benjamin, in your opinion? I know we do this stuff at Sports Talk Radio, but we were throwing out Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle, who should make his season debut.
Hackett,
Nathaniel Hackett, Ross. Russell Wilson. Who needs this win more on each side? Break down the Broncos and then the Niners side.
I think if we're looking at things, it depends on what lens we're looking through. Nathaniel Hackett needs this to stop this national media. I mean, he's the punching bag for everybody the last 2 weeks, and to a lot of degrees, rightfully so. So I think he needs it the most. If we're looking at this from a football wins standpoint, I don't think Denver's a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. They could make the playoffs, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
So if we're looking at this from a football perspective, I think Kyle Shanahan needs to win more. You've got to stack wins in the NFL, and he's got the opportunity to do that right now, pick up some wins and get ahead in the division. So I think, you know, it depends on which lens you look at it through.
All right, Benjamin, you're always good
great
to
stuff.
Us, man. Good stuff as always. We'll continue to watch your reports on Twitter. I know you'll be covering that game. Big-time game, Sunday Night Football in Power Field. Niners and Broncos, man. It's a huge game.
Yeah, I'll see you guys. Look for me down on the sideline.
Sounds
absolutely
good.
Benjamin Albright
just
here on the Morning
Roast. Nuggets.
95.7 The Game. He had a great line in there. I don't know if we can repeat it. I'm not going to repeat it. If you want to go
you
ahead
mean that,
and say,
that Hackett needs a win?
No,
for,
no. We're talking about,
national
the, we're talking about at the beginning of the interview. He came out on a fire.
He did.
And he talked about finishing. Talked about finishing.
Like
just
Mortal Kombat?
No,
finish him.
You talk about Mortal Kombat.
Who's your favorite Mortal Kombat character?
I use Sub-Zero
Me
a lot.
Too. Or Scorpion.
Scorpion, yeah. Get over here.
Yeah, that was so sick.
Yeah, that was sick. Scorpion was sick. Jax, eh. Who's all right? Who's, Liu Kang?
Liu Kang was pretty sweet.
Liu Kang was sick.
I always confuse Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, the characters.
Street Fighter is so much better, though.
Well,
can you admit that?
It came out a little before, didn't it?
Yes.
Didn't it come out a little
Street
before?
Street Fighter's original. Yeah, Guile, Ryu, Kid, Vin Bison, Sagat, Dawson.
Look at you.
E-Honda.
E-Honda
Balrog.
Sick.
Who's Vega?
Yeah.
Vega with the claws and
Chun-Li?
The mask. Chun-Li was sick.
Yeah.
Did you feel like the
rapid hits?
Yeah. Did you beat the game with like every single character?
You had to.
You had to, right?
Yeah.
You had to.
Yeah.
I loved it. Love Street Fighter.
I love both those games.
See, I'm not even going to read some of these comments.
Raiden. How do we sleep on Raiden?
Oh, yeah, we did.
You have a Raiden hat.
Do I?
Yeah, you've worn it before. It's like a straw hat.
Oh, the 90. Yeah, the straw hat. I was wearing it in Europe. Yeah. The Raiden hat. Yeah. The Raiden hat. What about our hats at training camp?
Well,
I'm not going to lie, Shasky.
I know. You had FOMO.
No, I did have FOMO, but I'm disappointed in you.
Why?
Because you didn't wear the hats this year at training camp.
Well, it rained one day, the fog was out, like, it wasn't hot weather, it wasn't as hot as it was the
I
year before.
I wanted you in the Saban hat.
I know.
Trey's first training camp.
I know.
I tell you what, you're probably missing training camp next year. I'll just say that right
I mean, if
now.
You thought this year's training camp was a circus.
Next year?
Oh, my goodness. Who do you think needs this win the most? Of all those people that you laid out, there's Hackett, there's Russ, there's Jimmy Garoppolo, there's Kyle Shanahan, of course, each team needs the win. You know, like, if we were to just point at an individual who needs, like, a deep breath win, who's the guy that you think needs a deep breath win?
Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan looks like he's gotten no sleep this week. A lot of questions about his usage of Trey Lance. We've beaten him up this week. By the way, nobody is saying he should be fired. Let me just put that out there. And we're not blaming the play on Shanahan. We're blaming the totality in which he ran Trey Lance. We all saw it coming when you run a quarterback like that. But he could quiet all the
noise.
The
job is criticizing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wins and losses.
Wins and losses.
Opinions.
Jimmy's going to have his time to get a big win. This whole season is important for Jimmy. These are bank account games for him. He wins, money goes up. He loses, money goes down.
Somewhere, Windhorse is like, no, it's a checkbook game.
Windhorse is, hey, thank you, Windhorse, for the little bank account. Brian Windhorse, can't wait to see you at a game very soon.
What is going on in Utah?
I can't believe all the people in Boston, the ESPN, you guys went really hard on Brian Windhorse. He didn't deserve that. And Nick Fornell sitting there, he just didn't know what he got himself into.
That fool walked into the lion's den and had no idea it was Mortal Kombat.
I'm not going to lie to you. There were some Warriors personnel who came up to me and was like, you and Shasky, thank you for that. Thank you very much. It was great. Shanahan. I'm going with Shanahan.
I'm with you with Shanahan. I'm more than anyone. I think also because I want to see him get the best out of Jimmy and not put him in a position to where he's overexposed or getting hit too often. To me, the number one thing in this game, everyone's like, run the ball.
Right.
Limit the amount of hits Jimmy takes.
Yeah.
He has got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Jimmy goes down. Season's over.
Yep.
Like I'm not knocking Brock Purdy. We just don't know. But if Jimmy goes down, season's over. If Jimmy stays healthy and upright, I feel really good about their chances moving forward.
I'm trying not to look at some of these comments on YouTube, Shasky. If you just want to scroll up and see some of the things that's happening, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. Not fun at all. By the way, the Udoka news is coming out here. Brad Stevens got emotional talking about the impact of women within the Celtics organization. Nobody can control Twitter speculation and rampant BS, but I do think we as an organization have a responsibility to support them. They're still not telling us what really happened. They just did a lot of research.
I don't think we're ever going to know.
Well, somebody's going to break this stuff down. Somebody is going to come out with this stuff and leak it.
Well, there's a lot going on the internet when it comes to Doc Rivers liking a bunch of things online. The Adam Levine stuff. I watched that woman's TikTok on Adam Levine. He's a weirdo.
Oh, she came out and like...
Yeah, she did a whole TikTok video, which I raised an eyebrow on for a variety of reasons. But that doesn't take away from Adam Levine being a weirdo.
Yeah, wow.
But the fact you put it out there like that, she's like, I want to be honest. And like went through the whole thing. She's no saint either is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
He's a weirdo, though.
Also, you know who else is a weirdo? DJ Academics. I don't know if you know
who
he is.
He's been a dork.
What a clown. What a clown. I don't want people to go out there and get beat up. But somebody needs to backhand the hell out of him. DJ Academics is just...
I don't want anyone to get beat up, but give him a Hollywood shot.
Dude, seriously. This guy's ripping LL Cool J, old rappers, new rappers.
LL
he wrote the Tekashi 6ix9ine. Like, DJ Academics.
What did he do now?
He's just ripping people for no reason. He thinks he's such a factor. He's ripping BET. Oh. He's ripping everybody. He goes, I got the biggest platform. Oh. I'm the dude in hip-hop. Like, is no, he? You're a clown. You're a clown.
Yeah, I'll still take Bill Bellamy and Tigger over him all day.
All day long. All day long.
I'll even take Sway. We sleep on how influential Sway was. So,
no, he's still influential.
I love Sway.
Yeah, I love him.
When he's at the beginning of the RBL song, Bounce to This.
Bounce to This is great. So, Sunday Night Football. When we come back in here Monday morning, I know Spadoni wants to hop in here.
I was just going
to
say, you guys see Kanye West finally acknowledged that Sway was right?
Yeah, he had all the answers.
The how Sway means?
Well, Sway admitted that he had the apparel line and that failed. He goes, I lost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it was, what was it, like 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
10, yeah.
Yeah, and him and Kanye were arguing. Kanye, by the way, dude, and Goo, I love you. Goo, I know you're out there. The sunglasses indoors while being interviewed. It's just an odd look. I'm not saying, Michael Jordan did it. You do you. He's Jordan!
Hey.
There's only one of them.
So Guru can't do it?
Guru looks great in the shades. It is just an odd look.
So you know what I'm going to do
People
Monday?
People want to see into your eyes.
Monday, I'm coming in when the Niners beat the Broncos on Sunday, even though Benjamin Albright's right, the Broncos are being slept on. I don't like it.
That's why I'm scared about the Broncos.
Their defense is... I already did this this year.
I slept on the Bears, and the Bears aren't even close to as good as what the at least what I believe the Broncos to be.
Right. No, I'm not sleeping on the Broncos at all. I think this is going to be a tough game. But I do believe we walk back into the studio with the 49ers at 2-1, and I may wear shades for you, Shasky. I may wear shades for you inside the studio just to tick you
the
off.
The Jim McMahon, you'll wear a visor?
No visor.
The LaDainian Tomlinson, you'll have a coat on the sideline with a visor, not moving.
What an odd look. What an odd look. You think we're walking back in here Monday morning with a win?
I think it's going to be a one-possession game, and I got the Niners winning by a field goal. And I don't even know why I'm saying that, because I have no feel for this game whatsoever. I'm just a Niner fan, and I want to see them win. But I honestly, if you told me that the Broncos had the ball with you know a minute to go, I think they win. I think if the Niners have the ball with a minute to go, I think they win.
How's it going to feel, Bret Hart glasses on Monday? How's it going to feel rooting for Jimmy and...
I told you, Bret the Hitman Hart's married to a girl from San Francisco.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's got a sister, too.
Bret the Hitman Hart?
Yeah, I think he's married a black chick. Yeah, he got a sister. Yeah,
she's from San Francisco.
Hey, look at Bret. Look at Bret. He seasons his food. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? Shasky. Listen to Shasky. Every drop back
Friday.
With Jimmy Garoppolo. The Jimmy on no throws. It's a thing. It's a thing. How is it going to feel like not only rooting for the 49ers, but seeing Jimmy G under center? Stay focused, my man. Stay focused.
It's going to be very odd to see him running out there with the team. Dun, dun, oh, what's the Sunday night music? I want the music. Give me the music.
Give us the music.
I'm rattled.
You're better than that line on the microphone.
I'm rattled.
Why, man?
I'm rattled.
Why, all the things you'd have said today?
I know.
All the things.
You said it, not me, and I'll get, somehow it'll get, you know. I'm Mike Tirico. After the much maligned shoulder surgery, losing in the NFC Championship game with an interception after an Aaron Donald stuff, Jimmy Garoppolo is back after the number 3 overall pick breaks his ankle, and the San Francisco 49ers are looking to get back into above 500 against a familiar foe in Russell Wilson.
How cool is it to have Mike Tirico on the call?
I love Tirico.
This is a monster.
It's going to be great.
This is Sunday Night Football.
The worst part is going to be, you know, your boy Florio before with Rodney Hudson and everybody.
You know you love Florio.
I'm telling you, Jimmy's going to be pissing down his leg. You know how he always talks. He's going to, I guarantee you, he is going to crush Jimmy G.
He crapped his pants.
And this is the Jimmy we always knew, that he's just not good enough. You know he's going to rip him.
Gosh.
You know he is.
Jimmy's back on prime time. It's time to flex on a Friday.
This does feel like one of the final matchups, Niners versus Russ, because now that he's in the AFC West, you're only going to see him
every 4 years.
So we're going to see him 4 years from now. Who knows where he's at in his career?
Right.
Who knows where the Niners are at in their life cycle? Like, 4 years is a lifetime in the NFL.
Right.
So, like, as much as I hear you, I'm fatigued by Russ. I am looking forward to, okay, he's out of the division. We get this one last matchup for a good 4 years. Like, I am interested in that. And 17, maybe I'm alone.
Well, no, I don't care so much about seeing him again. It's more so, you know what you're getting with Russell Wilson. And he's 17-4 with the Niners, and he still makes plays. And coming off that game last week, where they were booed at their home field, Empower Field in Denver, formerly in Invesco Field when they first opened it up. Uh-huh. But Russell's going to be looking to bounce back from that game.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
Just an unnecessary detail about the stadium. You see the YouTube chat? I mean, it got me at +800 to propose to add on a Warriors postgame show. What is going on, man?
So let's make that happen this year.
Oh, man.
+800? That should be +5,000. There's no way he's doing it that way.
So you guys are more into the betting than I am. I don't know much. I really don't know anything about betting. And so
let's pivot back to Bonte and the proposal.
No. I want to talk about the
and
Niners.
I'm loving the PSG, by the way.
You like that?
That's Niners, a nice thing on you.
My bad.
I spent a little too much money in the team store.
That's fine. Great. About €80, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was nice.
The fit is good on you.
All right, thank you.
So explain to me this, you guys, because when I listen to your guys' show, you guys are really on it when it comes to the gambling and whatnot.
Okay, good.
Tim Kawakami was tweeting out this morning.
Couple of degenerates. Go ahead.
That the Niners were underdogs at the beginning of the week. Yeah. Now they're favorites. It's about a 4-point swing. So again, I'm not a gambler, and I know they try to get even money on both sides. Yeah. And this, but when you hear that, what is your guys' takeaway when I tell you the Niners started as underdogs? Now with the Jimmy news and everything,
there are multiple factors, but it's mostly Jimmy. It's mostly Jimmy.
No, it's not mostly Jimmy.
I want to hear what you're saying.
It's Nathaniel Hackett is what it is.
So, yeah. But is it the public?
Well, sure. So
it's the public confidence in Jimmy.
It's both. Like when you're an odds maker, when you're sitting in a room and these odds makers are doing this together, it is a combo of either the information they have and what they believe is the right spot to put a number, at least to start.
Uh-huh.
But then it's going to react based on what the public thinks
how
and
much
what
is
they do,
in.
Right? How much money is coming in. That's what's going to make a line move. When you see a line move that quickly before there even has really been a chance for money to flow in, that's telling you that it's kind of before that, so it's informational. There are multiple that I know a lot of 49er fans haven't probably watched Denver Bronco football yet.
Part of the Seattle game.
It's Seattle Seahawks and it's Russell Wilson.
Right. So, but here's the thing on that number. The thought going into last week was, okay, at Seattle, tons of emotion.
Yes, yes.
And you fumbled twice inside the five.
Agreed.
We're going to give you a pass.
And you botched the ending.
Now come home for a week, Houston, and flex moment of the day. And they didn't do it. Yeah. They barely got to 17 points.
I like Texans more than the most, but I hear
why.
They were trailing in the fourth quarter, and they win the game. And so part of the move was Denver looked less than stellar.
Uh-huh.
And yes, a bigger part of the move was, the 49ers suddenly went from partially development to, like, let's go, win the game.
So this, okay. Because I'm recalibrating. So why do you disagree?
Because, yes, Jimmy's a factor, but we're also forgetting that number 85, George Kittle, is back in the lineup, who may be more
Do tight ends move the needle?
But in this offense, they barely do. But also, Denver has a lot of injuries. There's a lot of unknowns with Patrick Surtain.
Multiple factors.
Jerry Jeudy, you don't know if he's playing or not. Justin Simmons is out.
Very, very few actual individual line movers in the NFL.
Right? And quarterbacks are one.
And not every quarterback's the same.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers misses. I heard it's like 4 to 6 points.
Right.
Devontae misses when he was on Green Bay. It's like 2 points,
like,
1 point.
Like, let's go back to last week for the 49ers, okay? Is that line different if Kittle's playing? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know enough.
I don't think so. I don't think it's like, because, you know, what was the line going into that game?
Nine? It was like nine. I thought it was really
high. It got up to 10. It got down to 8.5. That thing was all over the place.
Is it 10.5 if George's playing?
No.
It's not going to move.
I don't think it's as much Jimmy as it is Nathaniel Hackett.
The perception.
And the fact that, Denver... They beat Houston 16-9. Their defense, by the way, is nasty. And I'll get into it during the show. Coming up, I'll tell you why I think Denver's going to win the game. It's in large part because the defense, the Niners' offensive line, has been a little bit porous. This game feels like a 12-11 kind of ball game.
Yeah.
So it's an ugly game, but the spread moved not because Jimmy G and the smoky brown eyes.
So you don't believe that?
Well, no, it's interesting because Benjamin Albright, Broncos insider, just told
us. Never heard of him, by the way.
Never heard of him. Michael Silver's best friend. He just told us that the league fears, they don't fear Jimmy as much as they do Trey. He goes, it's a benefit to have Jimmy because we know he can't move in the pocket. It's from a Broncos insider who's making a lot of calls out
But he
there.
Also gets rid of the ball faster than anyone other than Brady in the league.
And he also wins like two out of every three games.
I get what he's saying, though. What he's saying, well, no. So, I fear this player. I'm an athlete. I'm a linebacker. Who do I fear more? I'm going to fear Trey more. He can do more things, and I also haven't seen it before.
I think is the biggest element.
We fear the unknown.
Yeah.
The fan base does.
The monster under the bed.
Right. Jimmy Garoppolo is a very, very known
commodity.
B-level quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, B-.
Whatever you want to call him.
He's
right?
in the B range. So, B-plus some days, A-.
Right? Yeah, so I'm going to give him a C-plus. I want to give him a C-plus.
I'm just trying to trigger Mark early on Friday.
Not going
to
work.
This guy came in with donuts.
No, those were mine. Those were. Give Kyle credit for the donuts.
Kyle.
I didn't bring donuts for anybody today.
Shout out to Trey.
Did he bring those Candlestick Chronicle beers?
Not yet.
No.
What's going on here?
I got all invited to that thing before it happened.
Oh, you did?
And then I never heard another word about it after.
Oh.
And so I want to know what went down.
It was like the wedding. You didn't hit the list.
What went down? Who ended up with some sort of an animal in a hotel room or something? Like, what happened that weekend?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson and a tiger.
Welcome to the club.
Oh, speaking of Mike Tyson, boy, did I hear you butcher the hell out of that Phil Collins song earlier today. Nice job.
Thank you, Mark.
None of us can sing, good Lord.
You know what Bob Meyer said to me when we walked in?
The wrong place. What?
I'll give you the drip as you're dropping the drip. He goes, I love B. His portfolio needs to be diversified when it comes to music.
Because he's got one lane, a fast lane.
Yes.
I'm not going to music shame anymore.
Drive into the hood bumping Phil Collins. Nobody in the hood was bumping Phil Collins.
Yeah, that's one of the few white
you cannot roll in with Susu Studio.
Thank you.
I'm with you, Monte. I'm with you.
It's
not Phil. It's that track.
It's that track.
Or if Phil Bailey is on the track, then you can come.
Or if you come with two hearts living in just one mind. He's getting run out of
this. This is a great wedding song.
Anything's a great wedding song. Everyone's wasted.
Yeah, that's
true. But knock it off, bro.
Are you DJ or live band?
DJ.
I'm with you on DJ. What about you?
DJ.
DJ the first time, and I think it's going to be DJ the second time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like a live band. I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's risky, man.
It's got to be a good line.
It's like drafting Trey Lance versus just sticking with Jimmy, man. Like, just go with the DJ. It may not be perfect, but we, you know, go with what you know.
So my buddy Scott Igo, who Mark knows the Igo family, Foster City. Scott Igo is one of my best friends from college.
Scott's little brother tried to kill one of my friends with a baseball one time.
Scott got married in 98, and, you know, we go to the reception, and there was a big curtain, and all of a sudden he goes, you know, time to introduce our band, It was general public.
Oh,
the
wow.
actual band.
Wow.
So it
wow.
wasn't like a cover band.
That's pretty badass.
He had pulled, I mean, general public, if you're an 80s kid like we yeah. all were.
Man of resource. So,
he did like
yeah. Yeah. Actual band
family
of the
money.
I mean, he's the VP at ABC, for crying out loud.
Well, there you go.
Did they shut down Disneyland, too?
He produces such
too?
Shows as the Oscars. So
wow.
he's got
that'll
a little bit of pull.
Wow. That'll
my
that'll
boy Scott, he pulled out general public. So that was an actual band. And it's like, oh my God, this is an actual band. It's not like, you know, General Pubic, which is like a knockoff.
All right.
Like a knockoff band.
I already know how Mark's going to answer this question. He probably won't even answer the question, so I'm going to start with you, Dibs.
Oh, wow. That was dismissive.
Both these teams need a win, no doubt about it.
Sure.
But who on the 49ers needs this win the most? Is it Shanahan? Is it Garoppolo? Is it Kittle? Is it the defense? I think it's Shanahan.
Oh, it's Shanahan, and it's not even close. And I said this at the start of the year before Trey Lance got hurt. This is a Shanahan year. You need to figure out how to win with a young quarterback and still get this done. And, well, now your young quarterback is sidelined for the year, and so now you still need to make a mountain out of this molehill. So it's all Shanahan all the time. And do me a favor, Kyle, and I know you're listening on your way to Denver, when it's third and short, or if it's fourth and short and you're at midfield, don't punt, dog. Take a chance.
Yeah.
On the edge.
First of all, I'm gonna in general agree with you guys, but I also think our excitement level because of the drama that has taken place the first 2 weeks is actually overstating the importance of this game. If they lose this game and come back the next week and beat the Rams on Monday night,
2-2 is
like,
fine.
It's just funny. We're fans, and so we're into it on a week to week basis. And every NFL game is big, but it does. It strikes me as funny the way we never learned the lessons from even the previous year. The team was 3-5,
2-4.
Everyone wanted to kick the season out, and they're like, "This is a must win, and that's a must win." It Dibs, to borrow your damn... No, it's not.
Thank you, Mark.
No, it's not.
Would you agree that the travel, the road that you had to travel...
Sometimes you take the L and then you bounce back.
No,
like, it's okay.
Shout out, Drake. The road that you had to travel last year, you can't tell me that second half in L.A., the same thing in 2013 when they went to Seattle, when you play tough road games against Dallas, against Green Bay, it wears on you.
It's huge.
So stacking wins early when the Rams are trying to find themselves.
That's all.
The Cardinals don't have Hopkins.
It's huge.
Seattle stinks. And then that second half schedule where you're playing Tampa, and you got the Chiefs later on, you have the Saints and that tough defense.
They're all big.
You have Miami.
They're all big.
Stacking wins early, getting off to a great start, calms everything down.
I
want to see them be 3-1. It's time to get greedy.
Absolutely.
After the first four games.
They're all big, and I've watched Denver enough to where I really feel like the 49ers are just the better team. And so in the NFL, the better team doesn't always win. It's pro football. But when that's the case, you don't want to have two games out of your first three where you were the better team and you lost. So, yes, it is a monster game. I'll agree with you that Kyle is going to be the central focus because we all are welcoming Jimmy into our lives in ways that we didn't in the last couple of years. So I'll agree with the premise, but if they lose this game, it's not time to jump off a cliff.
No, it's fine. Okay. But if they lose to the Rams after losing this game, now we've got issues because even if you beat Carolina and Atlanta,
then you're just
3-3.
Right, but you're not dead.
No, but you should be 4-2 minimum. You shouldn't have lost to Chicago.
I mean,
and you did.
The seventh spot gives you a little wiggle room.
Can we also talk about? And this is just going to be our projection.
Want a home playoff game?
No, sure.
That's what it's about.
But this is just a projection. Look at what we at least feel in the moment about the NFC West. Last year you had three teams bouncing around
inside
at 10 double-digit wins. That's not happening this year. You don't need 12 wins to win this division this year.
Oh, you're talking about the NFC West.
NFC West, right.
I don't know what to make of Arizona.
We'll
see.
Like, they were so great in the first half of the year last year,
agreed,
and they're clearly not that this year.
But
so
you need 11 to win the division.
And
though.
I thought
you're
higher
not going to win
Seattle.
It at 10-7.
Maybe.
I thought higher of Seattle.
Hopkins is coming back soon for the Arizona Cardinals.
Not that
big game for them, for the Rams. They could stack wins early, too. Just being in first place in the NFC West before you play Arizona twice.
Yep,
if you have that game, I think you got to stack wins. You got to win today, on Sunday, and then set up that Monday night matchup where you've won six of the last seven against the Rams.
To me, Sunday's a scary one because, their D-line is nasty and your offensive line is shaky.
Yep.
B, Russell Wilson has owned you over the course of his career.
And mobile quarterbacks against this D-line.
That's the guy.
Yes.
I'm going to reject so far what I've seen from their defensive line. Their defense looks disappointing to me.
They've given up 26 points.
Right.
Shut out Seattle in the second half.
And
exactly.
Who'd they play? They played Geno Smith, who the 49ers kept completely off the board, and he came out and looked like...
Well, Seattle kept themselves off the board.
What did Twitter say after the first half? Wow, Geno Smith is actually good. He's got quotes. I didn't write back. All of this. 49ers didn't let Geno look like that. And then last week, Davis Mills... Actually, I would say this about both of these defenses. Neither one of them has been tested
yet. Davis Mills looked good against the Niners last year.
Davis Mills can spin it.
Dude, he looked good against the Niners last year. Come on, Shasky. You know that. Davis Mills looked good at Levi's.
He all right.
Davis Mills looked good at Levi's.
All right.
Hey, remember that game that turned us back off?
Houston's better than Chicago.
They scored 9 points, Mark.
Yeah.
He scored 9 points. They held Houston to 9 points.
Yeah.
An NFL team in today's era where offenses are exploding,
they scored 9 points. They're fine. They're not terrifying. I've seen at least five defenses look way better than Denver so far.
And I mean, if I want to continue to pile on why I think Denver perhaps can win this game or should win this game, the Niners rushing attack, you got Jeff Wilson Jr. and rookies, George Kittle coming back, and he's probably not 100%. And your guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not going to throw the ball all over the park. This game feels like a 9-8, 12-11, bet the under. Yeah, one of those classic.
10-11 2 minutes ago. Yeah, I'm feeling this.
You know what? 6-5.
It's a 6-5. What is the over-under?
Giants beat the Rockies.
What's the over-under in the game? What is the over-under?
I mean, look it up.
I thought 11-40 we were doing those picks.
We are.
Exactly.
That's good knowledge. Yeah.
My bad.
That bit got put to sleep.
Yeah.
There's a pillow over that bit.
My bad. I didn't know.
Spread formation.
I was eating a Little Caesars pizza at...
Yeah, I got it.
At whatever it's called.
Pizza?
Yeah, the Jiffy Lube when I was getting the oil changed yesterday, and I was watching on YouTube the interview with Michael Silver. It was really good. It was very good. It got a lot of views on YouTube. If you missed it,
Thanks, brother.
On YouTube and check it out.
Look at you. Right,
that was really good.
Michael Silver?
It was good.
44 and a half. 44 and a half.
Oh, God.
I bet you right now, you're talking about the 9 to 8. I'll bet you right now, over under 49er points, 20 and a half. I'll take the over.
20 and a half? Yep. Is that what their team total is?
No. The game total.
You're making that up.
Well, no. I didn't even look. But you're telling me the score is going to be 9 to 8.
I'm telling you, bang the under.
Okay.
And I'm going to go under 1.5 touchdowns for your boy Jimmy G.
Passing touchdowns or for the 49ers?
Well, he's not going to get a rushing touchdown unless he sneaks it in because that's all he can do.
Yeah. Well, no. Any rushing touchdowns. I don't care who gets the score as long as the team does.
Yeah.
I think the Niners will go north of 20 points.
Wow. On Bovada.lv. Niners total team total points 23.
Yeah.
Denver 21.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 23, 21, 24.
And the number is 2 now, by the way. It's gone from 1.5 to 2. The 49ers are a 2-point favorite now. So the money keeps coming in on the Niners.
I just worry about Russ running around and doing his magician crap.
So what do you guys think about this? Because this is something that Dibs and I want to get into here in a few minutes. I noticed something back-to-back with the Niners playing Seattle, followed by playing Russell Wilson the next week.
It's called scar tissue.
So granted, go back to the Richard Sherman days and mediocre receiver. That's a little bit
turkey
different.
Turkey on the 50.
But like, I got no hairs on the back of my neck standing up last week when Seattle came to town. But I do this week. And it made me realize the rivalry that we've been talking about for the last few years is not the Seahawks.
It's Russ.
It's Russ.
It's been Russ.
It's Russ. I'm way more turned up about this week than I was last week.
It's the Brett Favre thing. Because like when Brett Favre came and was a Jet quarterback, came to Candlestick, it's like, oh, God, it's Favre again.
Yep.
And you think he's going to tear your heart out. The Viking game that me and him always reference. Who was it? Greg Lewis. Who caught the pass at the end? Glenn Coffey getting hurt. It's exactly like that. Favre is one of those guys.
Glenn Coffey ran the ball.
Clearly an awful human being, but
his rival now is the state of Mississippi.
Good. I mean, thankfully.
He does jail time.
Yeah, but the point is that, yes, Brett Favre, Russell Wilson, the ball's in their hand. Get him. And the longer he extends the play, I just assume the worst thing's going to happen to the Niners.
I was jacked up last week because it was a home opener, a bounce-back game for Trey Lance and the 49ers coming off that loss to Chicago, and you had Pete Carroll walking up and down the sideline. I still get geeked up about Seattle. It's a divisional game.
Seattle up in high school, Marin County, Pete Carroll.
There you go. I was jacked up about that. This Denver game, I'm just more intrigued about what the Niners look like offensively.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't care about Russ anymore. I've already seen enough of Russ in the Let's Ride.
Well,
you saw him on Monday Night Football. Saw his TikTok on Sunday.
Niners are up.
Let's ride. Broncos Nation. Let's ride.
Niners are up 4. Broncos get the ball. A minute and a half to go. You're telling me that's not going to trigger something.
I would be triggered anyway.
I would be triggered anyway.
I don't want to watch that. No, the game's in the balance. That's what's going to trigger me. Right. You're going to have Joe Flacco play a quarterback. Down four, Niners defense on the field.
But it's different with Russ. Come on.
I mean, it could be the same.
Geno's got the rock. Russ has got the rock. It feels a little different.
Breaking news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news. Brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
No.
Say it, Chips. Look right at Dan Dibley when you say it.
Andre Iguodala announces on his Point Forward podcast that he's re-signing with the Golden State Warriors for his 19th NBA season. Iguodala said, "I'm letting you know right now, Steph, this is the last one."
Last ride.
Back.
Not left ride. Last ride. It's the last dance, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Any contract details?
No details. Probably a one-year deal for the Vetmen.
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 Is there a stipulation about coaching? Because he doesn't want to get paid to just be a player. He wants to be paid to tutor.
I said this yesterday. I don't want to hear one word from Vetmen Iguodala about, "Oh, I'm only making $2.742839 million. Andre Iguodala, just beat it.
I'm with you on the Iggy. I like Iggy in general.
He hates Iggy, by the way.
Okay.
Which is why I should call him Andre Iguodala.
He wants Iguodala.
Okay, yeah. Apologies. Yeah. But
No. You don't have to apologize to him. He's made $180 million.
I'm with you on this. It's called reading the room. It's like, dude, do you realize how expensive it is to go to a game with a family? Even just a couple of people. Like, you complaining about how little you're making in this society, given everything that's happened in the last couple of years.
Right.
Just read the room as an older person. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed. And absolutely agreed. The guy's made, you know, damn near $200 million. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer when all is said and done.
That's an interesting question.
Well, based on, you look at his Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
And college. You look at his college career.
Maybe in Arizona.
Remember, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Very
in the Basketball Hall of Fame, we let everyone in anyway.
Yeah.
And he's got four rings.
Great. Yeah.
And, you know.
Grant Hill was like, his first 7 or 8 years were incredible.
Yeah, but he got hurt.
No, I know, but hurt. Like, he was like a 7-time All-Star rookie of the year with Jay Kidd.
More decorated career at Duke.
Oh,
exactly,
no
which,
no
is why it's
no
which is why it's basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, so.
He's better. Iggy's been better throughout the totality of his career than Robert Horry. But should a Robert Horry, for example, I'm just using him as an example, would you guys want him in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
You don't think so?
If you let Horry in, then you got to let Patrick McCaw in. Because Patrick McCaw's got...
Oh, that's... Dibs.
McCaw's got, what, four
rings? I
can't
let you do that.
McCaw's got three rings.
Robert Horry hit big shots. He played.
He hit a big shot.
He hit a lot of big shots.
He used to rock it.
Big shot.
Lakers.
Whatever.
Come
and
on,
he hates that,
good.
Too, by the way.
He was good.
As far as hateable
nicknames. That's disrespectful.
The guy averaged about 10 points a game in his career. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Patrick McCaw, come on. He played 30 seconds.
Over under.
He's got rings.
Golf rounds.
More than you.
In a month, games played this year.
Wow.
Andre Iguodala.
The over, I would bet the golf rounds. And I mentioned this to Mark yesterday. Andre Iguodala, he stinks as a golfer. I've golfed.
Really?
I've golfed around him.
Damn,
I've
so
seen
much
him
shade.
Play. No. I'm keeping it real.
Saw him slash one ball and he's decided he stinks.
And Andre, exactly. Andre, triple A, 95-7, 95-70. He's terrible.
You can kind of tell.
He's terrible.
I'm not buying this.
Whatever, you don't have to buy it. I'm not selling it. I'm speaking fact. You've never seen him golf.
You saw one
slice. I've had him hit into me.
You saw one slice and you saw
I've seen him at the Accenture, at the tournament up in Tahoe.
Century.
The Century.
NCC.
What did he shoot?
He shot. He was like,
well, that
barely
one's
in the plus.
Because you can't shave there.
No, but that one's a, what's it called?
Yeah, it's a Stableford. It's a modified system.
You.
I know that,
yeah,
but we
and
can
he
still
was
tell
like,
what he
know,
shot.
Yeah. And he was in the 50s. He barely was in the plus.
Yeah,
he's terrible.
And I believe they pick up after
Robert
double
Horry.
Net,
Robert
bogey.
Horry. That was
double
a
net
strong.
Bogey or whatever the hell
you're
it is.
You're all fired, Diz. Come on, I can't let you go there.
Come on, man.
I mean, Robert Horry, if he wasn't on winning teams, who would he be? Who would he be?
I mean,
Shane Battier?
Exactly.
Who would Danny Ainge
be Shane Battier?
Who would Danny Ainge be if he wasn't on winning teams?
He would have been a Toronto Blue Jay outfielder.
Yeah, exactly.
Danny Ainge had one of the greatest plays in NCAA tournament.
Oh, I
what about what he did fouling Dominique Wilkins when they were up three and forcing him to shoot free throws in that 88 playoff game?
Look at you.
Yeah, when Larry Bird and him were going back and forth. It's one of the smartest plays ever.
The answer is he'd be Scott Skiles.
It was really
Scott Skiles.
Yeah, exactly. Scotty Brooks. Shout out Manteca.
Most assists ever. In a single game,
Scott Skiles.
Yeah. 29?
29 or 30?
No, 30.
Is it 30?
30, wow. Yeah.
Nobody's breaking out, huh?
We're flexing. Yeah.
We are flexing. Hey, I gotta get a cut, man. It's Friday. We get out of here. No, we're not.
Oh, you leave?
You getting a cut for media day? You getting a cut for media day?
I gotta do some things, man. You know
you can't spell media day without M-E, by the way. I love that. I'm gonna leave you with that.
Well, that's the same thing they say about team.
That's a four.
T.O. said on the sideline, you can't spell team without getting me the ball.
Exactly. Mark, be careful today. Hang on. I heard Scott Fremont call the show yesterday. He was on your bumper, man.
I know.
A lot of guys on your bumper, man.
You know who Andre Iguodala finished just in front of in American Century Championship last year?
Give it to me.
Josh Allen. I know we're not supposed to compare anyone to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But he is a better golfer than Josh Allen.
He's a newer golfer, Josh Allen. He picked it up in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep, he beat Emmitt Smith. He beat Travis Kelce. He beat Seth Curry. Take that, Dibs.
Oh, wow. Seth Curry. He's probably the fifth best Curry on the golf course.
Those Currys can go. All right, Ponte, go. You can leave.
I got it. Shasky could stay. You want to stay, Shasky?
I want to break down the President's Cup and how it's been hollowed out because of Liv.
It's a joke. I'm not even watching it.
Turns out, no, then you can't stay.
2009, Tiger Woods.
Neil Long was just on an Old Spice commercial.
Damn,
Harding Park.
Anyway, you guys have a good show.
So let's make that happen this year, okay?